Greetings and welcome to MERS Monday, the official podcast of the MERS Political Newsletter. I'm Kyle Malin, joined with Craig Mauger and two special guests we're going to introduce here in just a second. But Craig, this is the first podcast we have ever taped in House Room 51 here at the Capitol at Eddie's pitch table in the media room.
It's pretty nice. Yeah. Isn't it? Nice digs.
Yeah, and outside of the hum behind us here from the radiator, I think we're doing pretty good, which should be a lot less than the hum of a bus that I tried to tape the podcast in a couple weeks ago.
I think we need to do this every once in a while. Get a couple of lawmakers, media room in the Capitol. It's nice.
It is. Well, this was your idea here to bring a couple of lawmakers.
It was Representative Moss's idea.
Oh, it was. Okay. Well, I'm going to hand this over to you, Craig, and take it away here with who we got here.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, joining us today on the podcast, two very special guests, Representative Lee Chatfield and Representative Jeremy Moss. Representative Moss came up to me recently and said, you know, I think you guys should do a story on this relationship across the aisle that I have. We have opposing views, myself and Representative Chatfield, but we get along, we've become friends. I think it's a good story. Talk about this.
Well, it's a feel-good story, but first I'll say, you know, I think you guys have us in this room, so you want us to appropriate dollars from the state to refurnish and upgrade this room that we're in right now. Is that
busted.
Right?
Yeah, because that's why I gave you the chair with a tilted back.
Yeah, you're I almost took a tumble if I was going to sit in that chair, but good thing Craig's in it,
yeah,
not me.
Yeah, no. I'm used to working in this chair, so.
Yeah. Well, I'll start off by saying, you know, I think back home, you know, the only real stories that you hear out of the Capitol are those close votes and those long debates. You know, we had one yesterday that was about an hour long on a local control issue, and that's what really makes the news back home. But there's so many votes that we take that are 100 to 10 or even unanimous. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one of the pieces out of Lansing that's totally missing from what goes on here. And then you have two young guys like me and Lee who formed a friendship and we're across the aisle and we disagree on a lot of issues, but I think it shows that you can be, what's the phrase? You can disagree without being disagreeable. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've demonstrated that. And I think that's one of the stories that, at least in my tenure here, short tenure so far, and then hopefully moving forward, that I can tell back home that, you know, we can work on issues here in Lansing.
You know, he's right. And I want to say this about disagreeing. And I say this in all seriousness. I'd love to agree with Representative Moss, but then we'd both be wrong. So it's one of those relationships where, no, I'll concur with that. You know, first off, as a former history teacher, I can appreciate the fact that we're making history here. First time in this room. I can appreciate that. All right.
It's big history.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to go down in the books, I'm sure.
So I can appreciate that. But, you know, a lot of people, especially back home and across the state, there's a lot of attacks on politicians and people who are public servants. And, you know, even the media gets a lot of heat sometimes. And one of my constituents told me this recently. He said, Lee, if you don't follow the media, you're uninformed. And if you follow the media, you're misinformed. So he said, you have to, you know, pick and choose what you want. But, you know, I appreciate
He's not a MERS subscriber.
No, and I told him. I said, you have to pay for that.
Then he'd be fully informed, right?
Right, exactly.
And so I do appreciate opportunities like this to come here and to speak and say, you know what, there's more than just the votes that you read about on the front pages. There's, like, any venue in life, any area, something that you progress in. There's always behind the scenes work that goes on. And I think forming relationships across the aisle is important, and forming relationships in your own caucus. You know, George Washington in his farewell address, he warned against a two-party system. Mm-hmm. He said, if America ever goes to a two-party system, you'll find divisiveness and a spot where you never get things done. And I think his advice is proving to be true. The question is, you know, what alternative is there? If the Democratic Party wants to split into two, I'm all for that. You know?
And, are you going to join one of those?
Yeah, yeah. Give us a little more leverage. But, you know, I think there's a lot of wisdom and prudence in that statement, and it's proven to be true today.
Do you think Lansing is too partisan? You know, I think a lot of people around the state have this view that, oh, the Democrats and Republicans, they're always disagreeing, they're always fighting, they're yelling at each other, calling each other names. There does seem to be a little bit of that goes on, and it does get a lot of attention. But overall, do you think the legislature is too partisan? Is there enough crossing party lines going on?
I think one of the biggest problems up here is an unintended consequence of term limits is that, you know, there's a very minimal relationship building. And I think that's probably the reason that it seems to be too partisan. If I know somebody on the other side of the aisle is a Republican, or if Lee sees somebody on the other side of the aisle as a Democrat, you know, we'll attach all of the Republican dogma to that person and assume that, you know, they don't stray away from it unless we get to know one another. But there are bright spots here in the legislature that are bipartisan or nonpartisan. And I think remarkably enough, a lot of it has come through the House Local Government Committee, in which Lee is chair and I'm Democratic vice chair. And I think a perfect example of a nonpartisan issue is this public notice reform that Lee and I are working with this bill, the bill sponsor, Amanda Price, and trying to get through. You know, we'll have Republicans voting for it and against it, and we'll have Democrats voting for it and against it. But, you know, that's an example of throwing away partisan ID to work on an issue that's pretty pragmatic.
Yeah, you know, I'll add to that. You know, make no mistake, you know, I ran as a Republican simply because I believe in the Republican platform, as my Democratic colleagues believe in the Democratic platform. But to me, coming down here, I always explain it in two ways. There are certain things I have positions on, and there are certain things I have convictions on. And, you know, you do have to come down here and hold true to your convictions, what you told your constituents you believed in. I think that's important to do. But there are many things that you have positions on. And I think, like you mentioned, unfortunately, too oftentimes we end up going party lines because it is very partisan, whether you look at the state government or federal government. And I think when you get to a point when you do begin to put party over principle, you're going to have too much divisiveness and a moment where you're not getting things done that are important for the people.
What do you guys think, as two younger members of the legislature, is the future of politics, like 10 years out? Is it going to look the same that it looks now, do you think, in Lansing, or do you think it's going to look differently?
I'll add first, I think in Lansing, you're going to continue to see a trend of younger people getting elected. You know, everyone in my district, everyone in Representative Moss's district now sees younger guys getting involved. And, you know, whatever background you come from, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, they see that younger guys can do it. And obviously this is a consequence of term limits. Before, you know, your name was built up in your district, you had been in for 20 to 30 years, it's tough to unseat an incumbent. But now you have younger guys having the opportunity to come
unseat
in.
Incumbents?
Yeah. Well, sometimes it can happen. But it's a difficult challenge. It's a high mountain to climb. But you know, you will see younger guys having the opportunity to run because we have term limits in Michigan. So, my opinion, you're going to continue to see a trend of younger folks getting elected who have an interest in being a public servant, having an interest in impacting public policy.
Yeah, I'll just say, I served on the Southfield City Council prior to coming to Lansing. I was the youngest councilman when I was elected in the city's history. I ran at 24 and celebrated my 25th birthday on the campaign trail, and I was the youngest by 30 years. And when I was when I served on city council, the oldest elected official in the state, one of the oldest elected officials in the state, was on city council with me. He's still on council, and this year he's running for re-election at age 95. So being here in Lansing, I'm just happy to have peers. You know, so I think, you know, there has been kind of this group of millennials that are ready to stand up. And, you know, the ones who remain in Michigan, because I have a lot of friends that moved out of Michigan, are here for a reason. And it's here to make the state better and make the state a state that, you know, we want to invest in, we want to grow our families in, and we're ready to tackle the problems that are preventing that from happening.
What are some of the challenges of serving in the legislature and being someone? I think you guys are both under 30.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges? Are there challenges, or is it pretty easy? You're treated like every other lawmaker?
Yeah, you know, I've never been someone to make excuses. So I truly believe that we're, you know, we're treated fairly, you know, even though we're young. You know, everyone's opinion here matters. I mean, I am one of 110 in the House of Representatives. One of my early challenges, and I'd like to hear if Representative Moss had this as well, but for me was knocking on doors or going to events. I was always concerned that people were going to view my youth as a disadvantage. But what I found actually is when you go to the doors, you're young, people see that you care about politics, because the stigma on folks my age now is that we don't care about the future. We don't care about American politics. We don't care about American history. And that's not true for everyone. So I found as I went to doors, people actually were inspired. And it was an attraction to them. Now, however, there are some challenges that come along with that. I was at an event, a chamber event, actually, 2 weeks ago. And I wanted to introduce myself to a lady that was there. I didn't recognize her. Come to find out later, she was from out of district. And I went over to her, and I wasn't wearing my name tag. And I said, hello, how you doing? I'm Lee Chatfield. And she kind of like squatted down and looked at me. And she goes, "Oh, are you with the Boy Scouts?"
Oh, no.
And so, you know, not only am I young, but, you know, you can take off 10 years for how I look. I look like I'm about 17. And so that's one challenge. But being down here impacting public policy, I think we get a fair shake.
Yeah, I get a lot of, "Who do you work for?"
Yeah.
Work for the residents of the 35th District.
You got to wear that pin.
That's right. When I ran for city council, I can't agree more with what Lee said. I thought, I was 24, I was going to have to dress older when I went door to door. I was going to have to highlight certain parts of my resume that kind of gave more oomph to my candidacy. And the first door that I knocked on in Southfield, a woman answered the door, and I started to, you know, go through the script in my mind to talk about my platform, talk about my experience, even though I was this, you know, fresh-faced 24-year-old. And she held up her finger, and she looked me up and down, and she said, "You're young. I'm voting for you."
No kidding.
I thought it was going to be one of my biggest obstacles, and it was my biggest asset. And just as Lee said, total truth to the fact that I've heard so many people throughout this campaign, the campaign for city council, how impressed they are that I and people in our generation are ready to stand up and make a difference rather than just sit at home and complain or move.
And a lot of that is, you know, I think right now approval of Congress is at an all-time low. I know that it goes up and down, but it's been on a decline. And a lot of people are fed up with people in Congress that can't get things done. And they attribute that to folks who've been there too long and that are, you know, unwilling to work with people. Now, obviously, being a district, you're going to have some people just call you congressman. They don't mm-hmm. understand the, mm-hmm. the difference, and that's okay. You just roll with it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, like what you said, when they see someone young, they see fresh ideas. They see a new seat at the table, and to them, they respect that, and they want that, because they see too much divisiveness.
One of the problems, though, is that I'll be term limited at age 34, and Lee will be 32, yeah. So then what?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Does it get daunting to think about that? You know, you're going to serve 6 years as a member of the state house.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. If you guys are in pretty safe districts for your parties. And to think, you know, after those 6 years, what am I going to do after that?
It kind of puts it in perspective to how short-sighted term limits have been, you know, to know that this period of my life, age 28 to 34, is as much for the rest of my life that I can accomplish work in the Michigan House of Representatives. So it just, you know, I think my personal belief is that if I was doing a bad job, people would term limit me with their vote. And you know, the idea that I have this narrow amount of opportunity to really advocate for my residents is an issue of term limits.
I had a question here for you guys. So here you have somebody who won election because he beat somebody who wanted to expand the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act, and somebody who's openly gay, and then somehow you guys became friends. How did that happen?
Yeah, I think it's by approaching things from, you know, you have your core beliefs. That's why I'm here. That's why Representative Moss is here. That's why the other 108 representatives are here. You have your core beliefs, and you're going to disagree with people. And there is such thing as a healthy debate. You know, so you debate on the issues. Yeah, I'm very, very strong on that issue, and many of my convictions I am. But to me, that doesn't mean that you can have a friendship. You can't have a friendship.
Right, but he had to have come up to you and said, "Hey, aren't you the guy who beat Frank Foster?"
I don't think he had to ask me.
Okay, so you knew that.
I knew that.
All right, so Jeremy, did you just approach him and say, "Hey, what's up? You beat my buddy Frank?" Or what?
Honestly, it was during freshman orientation. We were all just kind of getting to know one another. And I'm sure just like Lee read about me in MERS or elsewhere. And there was always this kind of angle, Lee and others are on one side and I'm on the other side. And how are these two groups going to interact in the House? It really hasn't been an issue that we've even really kind of had much of a discussion on. But also, you know, there were a few gun bills that came through the House, and we were on opposite sides of the issue on that. And I think Lee came up to me and, you know, was joking around about how I was voting, but also said to me, "I understand that you're voting based on how the residents of your district want you to vote, and I'm not gonna hold that against you. I'm not gonna try and convince you to come to my side." But another thing too is that being young and still learning and still getting to know issues that affect everyday Michiganders is part of the experience of being in the House of Representatives. And I think and I hope that Lee and I both will learn from one another, and we'll both realize You know, there are certain issues that we can come and meet on and hopefully agree on in terms of social issues.
And I want to reference something that, you know, Representative Moss at the very beginning, he said you come into the legislature with, and people have dogmas attached to them, and I would call that predispositions. Okay, Lee believes A, B, and C, so his personality must also be A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can have beliefs, but that you don't always fit a predisposition. And when you approach something, if I were to go to the table and say every single Democrat who votes A, B, and C must also have the personality and beliefs, and I bring all my predispositions to the table, I think you're at a difficult point to work together. And, you know, we can agree to disagree because I would not, at the end of the day, I wouldn't want Representative Moss to go against his convictions. I wouldn't want him to tell his constituents, here's what I believe, and then come here through pressure, vote a different way. You need to vote what you told the people you stood for. So to me, it's about building a healthy relationship, treating your neighbor as yourself. I don't want someone to mistreat me because they disagree with me. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to be afraid to have a discussion. I think we need to have healthy debate here in Lansing. And there are too often, this is my opinion, people are afraid of the press. Too often.
Oh, we don't bite, though.
Yeah, come on. And MERS quote of the day, it's what you do. You know, people are afraid of the press of saying one wrong thing and it hurting them the rest of their career. Therefore, rather than speaking the truth, they don't speak at all. Mm-hmm. And debate has declined in American history. When you read American history and what used to be said on the House floor, what used to be said on the Senate floor, these were awesome debates. You look at Jefferson and Adams, man, they were on complete opposite sides on several issues, but they were lifetime friends. You had Jefferson would write to Adams, he'd write to, you know, Abigail Adams, Adams' wife. I'm not saying I want Representative Moss to start writing letters to my wife, but I'm saying like they had a relationship. They disagreed, but they spoke and they had a debate.
Do you think that lawmakers are now hiding from the press more than they did before? And
I can speak to myself. I know there's many times I don't want to have to answer certain questions because, and I'll just be honest, I think political correctness has put us in a position where I can't say what I believe. It might offend someone. And let's be honest, there are certain people in the press who are often, they don't want to just have a discussion with you. They want to get you to say something. And there is a lot of gotcha politics today. I know by just speaking with people on the radio, okay, if I speak to this person on the radio, they're just going to try to get me to say this. Where other people I know, they just want to talk. And you know what? If we approached it like that from the press side of things, I think we'd have more discussion. I understand, though, however, I need to do my job. The press needs to do their job. You sell papers and you sell headlines and subscriptions. Buy some controversy.
Journalism.
I was just about to say, this is another thing that we're going to be disagreeing on without being disagreeable. My degree's in journalism, and I firmly believe that the press is an unofficial fourth branch of the government. And I think that your job is to keep us as accountable as possible, and make sure that we do answer tough questions and aren't afraid to take the heat. I think that I commend you guys what you're doing, and seeing you work on the House floor each day, keeping us on our toes is a good thing.
And I think, like I said, I enjoy a healthy debate. I won't go as far to say the press don't always have their own agenda. And sometimes you have to create controversy. Let's be honest, sometimes people look to create controversy, and that's okay. And I'm okay with having discussions, but when I know a reporter is leading me into something and wants me to say something, I don't appreciate that. And therefore, the discussion ends.
No,
so,
I would agree. I think Fox News has its own agenda.
come on, we're like 5-1 there, you know. So,
do you guys think, I mean, you're from opposite sides of the political spectrum. Do you think if we put you in a room that you guys could come up with a road solution together?
My plan is to tie Elliot Larson to a road
to my road bill.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Look at that. They would call it the new Chatfield Moss.
Yeah.
Roads, wow. And LGBT protections. Yeah. Wow. How about that?
That'd go down in history.
There you go. We're done here. That's great, right?
The new Chatfield Moss rather than Elliot Larson.
That's right.
Go down in history.
That's right.
That's right. I do believe this. If you limited the amount of representatives we have, obviously, right now, and this will never happen, and I'm not advocating for this by any means, but yeah, if you put just 5 representatives in here, yeah, that solution could come up. We could probably come up with a solution more quickly than we will with 110. I mean, you got 110? Then you've got 38 senators and you've got one governor. You got to get it through all three branches. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is an interesting question. I bet you we can come up with a road solution.
Sure.
With no new taxes, I bet, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe not new taxes. Maybe just expanded the taxes that we do have.
Sure, always expansions of everything here, you know.
Sure, Medicaid expansion, yeah, everything. Yeah.
All right. Well, very good. Well, I appreciate you guys taking time to sit around the Eddie's pitch table and talk politics with us. It's been really enjoyable. Jeremy Moss and Lee Chatfield, state representatives, thank you so much. And Greg, thanks for getting this whole thing together.
I think we need to do this again.
Yeah, yeah, great. We should. That's great.
I'm all game for it.
That works.
And I appreciate the opportunity to do this, guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Definitely. Thanks for coming up with the idea and being willing to do it.
All right, sounds good.
Well, until next week, I'm Kyle Malin. Take care.